Hi, and welcome to the show. This is Journey with God, and I'm your host, Craig Tim. When we get together, I'll be sharing God's message on living the Christian life, and where each of these messages are filled with His inspiration and His encouragement to overcome all the obstacles the enemy wants to lay in front of us every day. We need that encouragement. We need to hear from the Lord every single day that all is good and He is in control. I'm going to start today's message and share a quick little story with you here. There was a politician in England during the late 1700s and early 1800s. His name was William Wilberforce. Maybe you've read some books about him or have heard about him at some time or another. But he served in Parliament during a time that would impact not only England, but also the world, including the new United States. But during his time in Parliament, he was introduced to the horrors of the slave trade. Now, he met former slaves, and he saw the scars from the whips and the branding irons on their bodies. And he went aboard slave ships and saw the conditions that they lived in as they were transported to the New World. And the slaves, so many of them are stuffed inside by the hundreds. And throughout the years, many millions died just on the journey, and then they were thrown overboard because they were worthless when they were dead. He saw the civilized British Empire exploiting and profiting from the sale of human beings. Much like today in human trafficking. Wonder if there's a William Wilberforce in our near future here in today's world. Anyway, it didn't take too long before he came to the realization that God was leading him to do something about it. Is there somebody that God is leaning on to do something about what we're going through in our world today? Now, William had recently given his life to Christ, and he was struggling. Yeah, he was still fairly new in his walk with the Lord, and he was struggling with the question of whether he was to serve God or his country through Parliament. I mean, you know, his commitments, his love for country, but also his love for this new God that he was serving. But while he struggled with this question, one lady said something to him that ended up changing his destiny for the next 50 years or so, it says. And you know what she said? She said to him, "I would suggest that you should do both." Never occurred to him that he could do both. And so he did. He chose to do that. Wilberforce served God and the cause of abolition of slavery in a relentless action for many years. And he lived long enough to see the slavery abolished from all of his work. It was abolished in the British Empire. And it was a long and a weary fight. And in the end, it cost him his life. Yeah, he died 3 days after the abolition of slavery passed in Parliament. Now, we're getting ready, when I'm recording this, we're getting ready for another election year, and for our politicians and those people in D.C. that's supposed to represent us, but that is a different topic to discuss at another time. But I want to be honest with you here for a minute. I hate these election years. I hate almost everything about them. For the next 8-10 months, well, it's probably already started, to be honest with you, we're going to be swamped with campaign ads for politicians and their issues and their promises and their word salad, as I call it. Our phones are going to be ringing out the hook. Cell phones are going to be a-buzzing with texts as the politicians have their people contact us and try to convince us to vote for them because A, B, C, D, you know how it works. But I do find a bit ironic that politicians passed a bill a number of years ago, and it allows us to block the telemarketers, but it doesn't allow us to block the politicians and their calls. Interesting. Don't get me wrong here, though. This is the greatest country in the world that we live in the USA. But we have a system that allows the greatest number of people to participate and be part of the betterment of the country.
Yeah.
And I would say it's safe to say that most of us probably get tired of all the politics we hear day in and day out. I know I do. It's the same old stuff. But when we're faced with the fact that we have to operate within this political system in order to see things happen and get things done or get things changed, then I believe it's time for the big C, the church, to step up, speak out, and be involved. Stop being afraid of preaching from the pulpit what is God's truth. Now, I will get on a soapbox here quickly if I'm not careful. I'll be honest with you today. The church is just too scared of saying things that might have people disagree and want to leave. Let them leave. It's the pastor's responsibility to teach us the truth of what's going on related to our country and the people that are supposed to be serving us. See, they're supposed to serve us. We don't serve them, right? Again, that is for another day and another topic. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but doggone it, the church is just too quiet. Why are the pastors so afraid to share the truth about this? Ask your pastor. Why don't you speak the truth about this? Why don't you preach from the biblical scriptures on what's right and wrong out there? Okay, enough of that. All right, let me regroup here. As you know, let me regroup. Life is full of ups and downs. Things don't always go as we plan, right? Of course not. There's frustrations, irritations. We get agitated and all of those kind of emotions. But in spite of all that we go through for the kingdom's cause, we must never give up. Never give up. Now, I want you to listen closely to this profound proclamation here for a second. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trotting seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, you want to smile but have to cry. And when cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. And we must continue to press our way to the finish line, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. I'm sorry, I don't remember where this goes from, but I just found it to be very inspiring of what we go through, how it's so profound. I know it's hard, but don't quit. I'm telling you this, don't quit. I know this journey is tedious for each of us, but don't quit. I know you get tired of being lied to, and I am. I'm tired of it, tired of being talked about, and our backs get pushed to the wall all the time, but we must be mindful that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Paul writes in Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Listen now. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. And each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should share all good things with their instructors. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, continuing on. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Today's message is titled, Never Give Up. And I know it can be discouraging to continue to do what is right and neither hear a word of thanks or appreciation or see any tangible results from it. But the Apostle Paul not only challenges the Galatians in this book, he also challenges us today. And he also gives all encouragement to not give up, but to keep doing good and trust God for the results. Did you know that as believers in Christ, all of us are called to labor for the Lord? Do you realize that? And as we labor for the Lord, the temptation to become weary can present a major obstacle that we all have felt at one time or another. Yes, I have too. Maybe even more times than we can count. Yes, I have too. And speaking of the temptations, though, I've spoken about this in many other podcasts. You can look at any of them up on my site, and you will see a number of messages that the Lord has given us about overcoming temptation and not falling into the abyss of Satan's traps. Now, have you ever wondered why opportunity knocks once? Remember that phrase, opportunity only knocks once in your life, right? But temptation, it bangs on our doors consistently, day after day after day, it's bang, bang, bang. Do you find this true in your life, though? Opportunity knocks once, but temptation is banging on your door of life. See, all these supermarketers out there, they have learned that we are easily tempted, and they try to take advantage of our emotions all the time. Why do you think they place snacks and soft drinks and some magazines near the cash registers where we have to wait in line? Yeah, that's why the C-stores want you to come inside after you get gas. They make more money from you inside than they do outside. They actually only earn 1 or maybe 2 cents per gallon on the gas, but a medium-sized soda, for example, may cost the store 20 cents, let's say, but they're going to charge you $1.29 or maybe $1.69, whatever the price is today. That's a huge profit margin for them. Did you realize that there are those who would try to put stumbling blocks in your path? Yeah. There'll be some that'll do it on purpose. There are those who will set traps for you. Yeah. Just like setting a bear trap or a raccoon trap out there in the woods, right? Yeah. And there are those who will want to attempt to distract you. There are those who will criticize all the things that you do. And then there are even those who try to turn others against you. Believe it or not, isn't that something? But let me ask you another question now. What are the things the enemy is trying to tempt you with today? What is it today? Think about it. Think about it. What are the things the enemy is trying to tempt you with today? And to understand where our temptations come from, it's helpful to consider what drives us, what we have desires for. So let me rephrase that here for a second. What are your desires? From there, you'll begin to understand the strength of your temptations. How about more money? How about a good career? Desire to be strong. Desire to be seen to be successful, environmentally friendly, wealthy, loving. And perhaps your desire is to have a comfortable retirement where you just save and save and save so you can do really nothing when you retire, right? Or how about being the one who has all the answers on all the subjects all the time? Maybe that's what you want. Again, though, what is your desire? And much of what drives us isn't all necessarily bad, but actually, part of what I really want to address today is the fact that even with good causes, we can become tired. We can be tempted to just be quiet and not make waves. Yeah, don't say anything. Don't rock the boat. Don't cause any grief out there. Just stay to yourself. You know, you hear all that all the time. However, they also are potentially dangerous. And they're potentially weak points that each of you need to be aware of. See, Satan can, and he will use all of this that we just talked about, all of this in the temptations to lead you away from God and God's approach to life for you.
Let's take a moment and see how this works. I'll give you an example. One of my desires is to try and be a good dad. All right, that's not a bad thing at all, right? Most people would say that, yeah, that's a good thing, Craig. You know, want to be a good dad, sure. So what do you think? Is trying to be a good dad something good? And my desire to be a good dad, however, at times I get angry with my children. I get angry and I fall into temptation to yell at them. And when I give in to temptation, I have unjustly punished them. And at times I expect them to be perfect little angels, practically all the time. But other times I let them get away with way too much. And they're like, well, I'm not going to say that phrase. That's not very nice. So, but my desire to be a good dad on some occasions becomes more about how I look than about really loving my kids. And to my kids, I say, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? But I have already fallen for Satan's temptation by then. And to be more concerned about my desire to be seen as a good dad, the reality is that Satan's going to use what our desires are in life to distract us from God himself. And this is falling for temptation. Satan tempted Jesus with three things that most of us would and could be easily tempted with. And if we go to Matthew chapter 4, we see that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. The key here, chapter 4, verse 1 in Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God himself had placed Jesus in a situation where he could be tempted by Satan. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. He didn't get lost walking into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into this. Placed him in a situation to be tempted. And look how Satan attempts to tempt him. Listen to this. Food, right? Some of you know, you might know the story. Food, growling stomach. Now, most of us are probably tempted by particular types of food that we really enjoy. Well, Jesus was out in the wilderness fasting before he commenced his ministry. Verse 2, it says in there, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would say so. I would be. And verse 3 says, the tempter, Satan, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What an attractive proposition, to say the least, especially after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I'd be hungry and want to change everything into steak and potatoes, to be honest. But Jesus didn't fall for this trick. It was a trick of the devil. But just imagine for a moment that if Jesus had turned the stones into bread to satisfy his own individual hunger temptation, life as we know it would not exist today. Satan again tried to tempt Jesus by encouraging him to place himself at the center of attention. But Jesus was aware that he was on his Father's mission, and he didn't need others to see him as someone spectacular or special. And it wasn't the time for him to be at the center of attention anyway. Satan also tempted Jesus with fraud. In verse 8, he says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendors. All this I will give you, Satan said, if you will bow down and worship me. Well, think about it a minute. That's a bit like me saying to my daughter, you can have all the money in your money box so long as you clean your bathroom. Oh, that's ridiculous. She already owns the money in her own money box, right? And likewise, Jesus, he already owns the world. But thankfully, Jesus responded with verse 10. Jesus said to him, saying to Satan, he says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him daily. Does this not sound like the same temptation the devil tempts you with sometimes? Desire to provide for ourselves or for your family, or desire to have some kind of power? Desire just being good amongst others. But these temptations are only part of the big temptations Satan places often in our lives. His goal is to have you stop focusing on God and God's agenda and focus all of your attention somewhere else. He does this by either encouraging you to have as the number one priority in your life, your own agenda, or, as it may be, Satan's agenda. And Satan will put questions in your mind like, surely God doesn't want you to miss out. Doesn't that phrase sound similar, like that slivering snake in Genesis chapter 3 for Eve at the tree? Doesn't he just kind of twist that a little bit? That sounds pretty similar to me. Satan, you know, he's always wanting to have us prioritize ourselves, our society, or Satan himself. And yet God's agenda means we'll be cared for by God. Which one? Which one would you pick? Remember in verse 10 we just said, when Jesus told Satan to hit the road, Jack? Verse 11 goes on to say, then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. The fact is, although at times focusing on yourself or what the world thinks or what Satan offers can appear far more attractive on the surface, but what God offers is far better and will last anything that Satan tries to offer you. God's agenda is that which he wants you to receive. He wants you to receive. He wants you to have it every day. Satan, on the other hand, is quite happy in you just simply loving yourself first. Oh, I am so good. Oh, I love what I do for everybody else. But surprisingly, Satan doesn't always mind if you're listening to God, provided you always put yourself or the world's ideas first. You can listen to God and read his word and, take it as maybe some head faith or knowledge. Head knowledge is probably a better phrase. And just still having yourself first. That's Satan's idea of a perfect life for us. See, there's a story written by a man regarding temptation, and it goes like this. While my wife and I were shopping, a beautiful young woman in a short, skimpy dress strolls by. Immediately, my eyes follow her all the way down the aisle, and without looking up from the item that she was examining, my wife asks, was it worth the trouble you are in now? She didn't even have to look at him. She knew what he was doing. See, sometimes temptations can lead us into real trouble. And he didn't even do anything, just looked. But it's how he looked. When we succumb to being tempted by Satan away from God, is it worth it? Oh, you're going to say, no. It's easy in the armchair, right? Is it really worth risking all that God promises you versus a short-term satisfaction from Satan? Oh, you're going to say, oh, of course not, Craig. No. It's easy again from your armchair when you're just listening to a message. But when you're living life every day, is it that easy? Now, some advice regarding dealing with temptation can be very useful, yeah. However, I want you to think about it for a moment. Is it not going to work in all occasions? Why? Can you answer that? Why? It's because many of the things that tempt us are constantly around us. And if we were able to hide ourselves from everything that could possibly tempt us, there's nowhere we could even go. In fact, the reality is that we are surrounded by things that tempt us every single day. And at times we will fall for these temptations. So staying away from everything that tempts you is not always possible. Because there's more than one temptation when you get out of bed. However, through Jesus Christ, God does offer us another approach to dealing with temptation. Yes, the good news is that God's entire approach to life revolves around forgiveness. If we have fallen for any temptation, we still have hope that God will forgive us. See, remember the angels? They'll minister to our needs too. And this is possible because Jesus did not give in to temptation, because Jesus remembered his purpose was to serve God's agendas of forgiveness for you and me. And it's because Jesus worshiped the Lord and served only him. Jesus followed God's agenda perfectly, an agenda which has saving you in mind. So in this past week or month or months, whatever it might be, if you have succumbed to temptation, confess your sins to God. Allow him to forgive you. Ask him to help you overcome these temptations rather than Use the gifts and the talents and the money and the time for all of your own agenda. Ask God to help you see how you can use it for His agenda and His plan. And remember that Jesus, in not being tempted by Satan, He's able to deliver you. You. What you have no hope of earning yourself. And you know what? He gives you eternal life. Now, with all the troubles going on around us today, many times, all we want to do is just give up and say to the Lord, stop it. Stop it all. Becoming weary means that we feel beaten out or worn out. Of course, we can end up feeling discouraged. Definitions of weary can say we are disgusted, exhausted. We become increasingly impatient with life. Have you found yourself in that recently? But in our main scripture today, Galatians 6:9, Paul is encouraging the Galatians not to become worn out doing good. This is also meant for us too. Do not get worn out doing good. On our journey through these times, we can sometimes feel disheartened, but we must endeavor to be faithful unto God. I want to encourage you that giving up is not an option for a child of God. Yeah, I'll say it again. Giving up is not an option for a child of God. Remember that. I'm going to begin to close. I want to give you a few things to overcome your weariness today. We must have unyielding faith in God to sustain us. We must have a prayer-filled life. And Jesus proclaims this at Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought to always pray and what? Not give up. It says it right there in Luke 18:1. Not give up. We've come to church too many times to give up now. We've prayed too many prayers to give up now. We've cried too many tears to give up now. And we've labored too long to give up. We've fought the good fight of faith to give up. We have held up the bloodstained banners too long to give up. And we have come too far to give up now. We must be bathed in His Word. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. And Matthew 28:20. Jesus encourages and He assures us by telling us, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Never give up, my friend, and never give in, for God is your preserver, your provider, and your protector forever and ever. Amen.